الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. وقال عز وجل: وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه، وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. الحمد لله. And the most precious gift of Iman and its manifestation in the perfect and pure teachings of the Deen of Islam, as beautifully expounded in the injunctions of Shariat, in the Fiqh of Shariat. This is indeed Allah's great mercy and grace upon us, that adherence to it is the only and sole means of success in this dunya, for a life of true inner peace and contentment in the life of the Qabr Alamul Barzakh, and for eternity to come in the hereafter. And Allah has granted us this gift without any eligibility, deservedness or worthiness from our side. Falhamdulillahi ala dhalik. The ahadith, the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an integral part of our deen, from which injunctions are derived, advices are taken in our deen, together with the Quran Sharif. One great fitna, one tribulation that has always been there, and in these times, together with modernism, liberalism, Shi'iyat, this fitna finds itself creeping up now and again, and that is the rejection, denial of hadith as an integral part of drawing proof for matters of our deen, known as munkirin hadith, whereas there are ample proof within our deen, within the Quran Sharif its very self, of there being wahi, revelation, a source of deriving injunctions other than the Quran Azim itself. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever, the word ma in Arabic is general, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed to you as a matter of deen, injunctions, commandments, then hold steadfastly to it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited you from, then refrain and stay away from it. Again, the word ma is general, whether it be in the recited form of wahi al-matlu, the Qur'an Sharif, or the extended, the elaboration of the Qur'an Azim, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned, and one of the miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this exact fitna has been prophesized and told to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the hadith by Abu Rafi'i radiyallahu ta'ala an, La ulfiyanna ahadam minkum muttakiyan ala arikatih. Let me never find in my ummah such people who will be living in complete luxury, opulence, and with pride and arrogance, if that person is told that this is a command from the commandments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or this is a prohibition from the prohibitions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what will that person say? مَا وَجَدَنَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ اتَّبَعْنَاهِ. That I don't know what you are talking about. I only follow the Qur'an. Whatever is in the Qur'an, that is all I follow. And anything outside of it, I would never ever follow. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Rejection and denial of hadith. As our respected Ustaz Azman al-Shabir Sahib, Hafizahullah, says it so beautifully, the importance of the sunnah, that we know that the Qur'an is the Qur'an through the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can only acknowledge that the Qur'an is the Qur'an Sharif because that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to us. So in order to accept the Qur'an as Qur'an, you have to accept the hadith, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find ample proof, as Mufti Sahib, in the recently published kitab, a very, very valuable work, as are all the works of Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Jawahirul Usul, in Usul Mustalah al-Hadith, a beautiful tashreeh, ta'aliq that has been done on it, mashallah, that one section within the dedicated especially to 16 objections that those who reject and deny hadith, and beautiful, simple, but deep answers has been given in that kitab, a beautiful response to the various objections that they would raise against Hujjiyati Hadith. In the Quran Sharif, also ample proof. We take one example. We know the first Qibla towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and thereafter we know in Medina Munawwara the Qibla was changed towards Al-Masjid Al-Haram. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So Allah Ta'ala says about the Qibla prior to that, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا. We did not decree the first Qibla or the previous Qibla on which you were, except as a means of test. So Allah Ta'ala says, we had decreed that as your first Qibla, whereas nowhere in the Quran Sharif is it that Allah says, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكْ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Nowhere in the Quran Allah says, face towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, but yet Allah says, that was our command, our divine injunction. So it is clear, ample proof that there is commandments, injunctions of Allah Ta'ala other than the Quran Sharif. Therefore we find many injunctions. Allah Ta'ala says, it does not behove, it is not permissible for a believing male and female, when Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decree in any matter, decide in any matter, that there is no choice that they have for themselves thereafter, that I will see what I want to do. Once Allah has decreed, and Allah Ta'ala Himself says, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has decreed, فَقَضَاءُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ حُكْمُ اللَّهِ. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decrees on a matter, then that is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. So we take the ahadith, we look at the hadith, the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Great efforts, sacrifices were put into his preservation, into his protection. People had dedicated their entire lives to authentication of one narrator in the chain of narrators, strict scrutinizing of the narrators in order to derive those ahadith that are worthy of acceptance in deriving injunctions and ahkam. A great effort, great sacrifice. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said about it, نَذَّرَ اللَّهُ مْرَأً. May Allah keep fresh that person who listens to my word, commits it to memory and passes it on. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in understood the value of this. That is why we find the great Sahabi, Hadith Sayyiduna Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, a great narrator of hadith himself, very beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hears that there is a Sahabi, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu anhu, who is all the way in Damascus. Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu purchases a conveyance, travels by land, a lengthy journey, in land journey, almost 1,500 kilometers far away, for the purpose of going to listen to one hadith only, because the Sahabi had heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unais radiallahu an had heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he travels there to listen to one hadith that deals with how Allah Ta'ala will redress the imbalances, how zulm and oppression will be sorted out in hisab on the plains of Qiyamah. Listens to that hadith and comes all the way back there, understood the value of this. So one hadith, beautiful hadith of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we take as a lesson today. The hadith is in the Tirmidhi Sharif, it is also in Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi, various other books of hadith, where one occasion Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, 5374 ahadith narrated by him, he says that people object on me as to how I've memorized and committed to memory so many other ahadith. He gives the various reasons. He says, whereas my brothers of the Ansar would be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but would spend some time in farming, whereas my brothers of the Muhajirin would be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but spend time in trade, whereas I had dedicated my full time, 24/7, exclusively in the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So much sacrifice in pursuing the hadith, the knowledge of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that sometimes he would fall unconscious. People thought it may be epilepsy. But he says, Wallah, it was nothing but the severe pangs of hunger because of this great sacrifice. He says also another reason, initially I used to learn and forget. One day I complained about this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, spread my shawl. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made some hand gestures. And then when I put that shawl on again, he says, after that day, I never ever forget anything that I wanted to retain in memory. Allah had given him a photographic memory, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَنْ يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. Who will learn and memorize for me these words, فَيَعْمَلَ بِهِنْ أَوْ يُعَلِّمَ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِنْ. And then practice upon it or teach it unto others who will practice. We learn from here the maqsad, the objective of knowledge of deen is amal, to put to practice. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in his zeal and desire, says that I will do so, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam catches his hand and compassion as a teacher, And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then makes a gesture of five words, five golden advices that put to practice. And with that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions the benefit of each of these five advices. Number one, اِتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Refrain, stay away from the haram, from the prohibitions, and you will be the greatest worshipper of Allah Ta'ala, the greatest form of ibadah. I advise myself before anybody else, the many, many temptations of haram that are in various means, various modes, the greatest form of ibadah, taqwa mentioned almost in different ways, variations, 250 times more than anything in the Quran Sharif. So stay away from the haram, the prohibitions of Allah Ta'ala, that will be the greatest form of ibadah. Therefore we find amongst those seven will be granted the shade of the arsh of Allah on the day of Qiyamah with no other. رَجُلٌ دَعَتُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. A person who will be invited towards committing haram, not by an ordinary woman, by a woman who is blessed with beauty and is of a very high ranking, of a high status, and yet this person at the critical juncture says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah Ta'ala, and purely out of that forsakes and leaves haram for the pleasure of Allah. Number two, irda bima qasam Allah, warda bima qasam Allah, takun aghna an-nas. Be happy, pleased and contented and live within the means which Allah Ta'ala has given and decreed for you. You will be the richest of person, you will be the most independent of all people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-arad. Wealth, richness does not necessarily denote an abundance of material possessions, but richness, true independence, is to be independent of people and live within the means Allah Ta'ala has decreed for a person. So this is a very outstanding quality, qana'ah, hayatan tayyibah, a good life in this world, iman, amal, salihah, is defined as that life that is filled with contentment. Next, wa ahsin ila jarik takun mu'minan. That be kind, be courteous, good in your treatment of your neighbors, you will be a sincere and a solid believer. The rights of neighbors in our shariat, that covers rights of different categories of creation of Allah Ta'ala. مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلْ يُصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, one occasion, Jibreel Alayhi Salaam continuously emphasized to me the rights of neighbors with such emphasis that I thought very soon Allah will send the command that a neighbor will also be an inheritor from your inheritance after you die. That this did not happen, but to emphasize the rights of neighbors. وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. Number four, that like for people, for humanity, what you like for yourself. And there is nothing greater that a person likes for oneself, that one should be desirous of the entire humanity, that is hidayat of iman. So when Allah Ta'ala has put us here as a minority, by our word, by character, by humility, especially by our dealings, when we interact with those not blessed with iman, by our compassion, by serving those who are poor, those who are destitute, there is severe poverty and hunger in our country that wallah words cannot describe. So a great opportunity of showing good akhlaq, of showing good dealings, mannerisms to people. And over and above that, anything, like for people what you like for yourself, a sign of complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. And lastly, وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضَّحِكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Or كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, refrain, abstain from laughing excessively, because it hardens the heart and that causes the death of the heart. A person may be alive, but that heart which has become hardened, not softened to Allah, to the love of Allah, to dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, there are many means, as Mufti Sahib has mentioned in the Kitab of the Sharah of Qasida Burda, where the various means have been mentioned for softening the heart: dhikrullah, tilawat of Quran, showing mercy and compassion to the orphan child, gathering such as these. The maqsad should be the softening of the heart. So refrain from laughing excessively, because it causes hardness of the heart and that leads to the death of the heart. So these five golden advices that we try and learn, put to practice, convey to as many people as possible. Once again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, stay away from the haram and prohibitions, you will be the greatest worshipper of Allah Ta'ala amongst humanity. وَارْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهِ. Be happy, be pleased, be contented, live within the means that Allah has decreed for you, you will be the richest of persons. Be kind and good in your relation to your neighbors, you will be a sincere believer. Love for people what you love for yourself, this shows complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. And refrain from laughing excessively, because this will cause the death of your heart, remembrance of qabr, death, akhirat, another great means of softening the heart. وَفَقَنِي اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ لِمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَهُ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us Iman and who has also given us the effort of Iman. Allah Rabbul Izzat has made this Ummah special because we have been given the effort on Iman. Hazrat has requested that I should give a small kargozari. December holidays, Allah's fazl, went out for a few days. When a person goes out in the path of Allah, you have two types of doctors. One is a doctor who has his practice. Patients come to him. But there are many out there who are sick, who don't have the means, who cannot make it to the doctor's surgery for whatever reason. Then you get the other doctors and nurses that go out with the vehicles into the most rural of areas to service people who cannot make it. And if you take census, you would see that those who get to a surgery in percentage are far less as compared to those who are far out. So those who go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are actually trying to reach out to those who are spiritually sick in the rural areas, far out. And I mean rural areas, figurative, who don't have the opportunity of the exposures in the bigger cities of the ulama, of the pious, etc. So to the fazal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person goes out in the path of Allah ta'ala, then he goes out and reaches to people, and you'll be surprised that one word, one sentence, one da'wah, how it just boosts up the spirit and the iman of a particular person. We don't realize the current situation is a direct attack on people's iman. And people have uttered statements, people have lost hope. I'll give you one small kargozari. Our Jamaat was in Tongat. So on the outskirts of Tongat, there is another area. A lot of Indians live there, of the lower class. So we went to meet this one brother, elderly person. He was just coming out of his COVID sickness. So when we got there to him, elderly person, he's a cook and he also is a builder. He was so happy to receive the Jamaat. We were three. He was so happy to receive us on that mulaqat. He took us into his home. He made us sit there. And his heart was tearing with joy that we came to give him hope, because not even his own family came to visit him. Spoke to him. He was so elated. He opened up so much. And we just said, for us it was such simple stuff, basic things which we take for granted in bigger areas where we have exposure. But we just said those few simple words because of his sincerity of our mulaqat. It built him up so much that he said, I'm already feeling better. He was on oxygen just 3-4 days before that he was on oxygen. He was feeling very weak. Nobody came to visit him, not even his own children and siblings. Only his daughter came to make his khidmat. He and his wife, both elderly people living on their own, in a very small place, just enough for two people. He was so overjoyed. He said, besides physical strength, our coming and speaking to him those few words gave him imani strength. Now, there are hundreds and thousands of such people. Imagine if our Jamaat didn't go there. Allah Ta'ala sent us there, obviously for a reason, to that particular mulaqat. But there are so many out there who in the despondency, na-umidi, mayusi state, are living and leaving this world. What's going to happen? How are we going to reach out to them? And as Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir mentioned, أَيُنْقَصُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيِّ, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's statement, that leave alone a'mal of deen, leave alone salah, leave alone zakat, leave alone charity. People's iman is at stake. A person, I'm not justifying not reading salah, not giving zakat, not fasting. But if a person doesn't do these amal, but he dies with a correct belief system, one day he'll go to paradise. On the other hand, a person can have 100% salah, 100% zakat, 100% sawm, fasting. But if his belief system is incorrect, then there's no way he's going to go into paradise. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the imam, There were people who were reading salah. There were people who even went out in a part of Allah with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Munafiqun. But then too, those people were such that they died without iman. And إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They are the lowest of level. A person who dies without iman, he is not going to be as low in Jahannam as a person who had iman and then lost his iman. That's why the ulama are saying it's more important to make effort. I'm not saying you mustn't make effort and dawah work, but we have to look, one bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. We have to look after the iman of the ummah. At the moment, the main cry, the need of the hour, is to secure the iman. There's no guarantee that if you read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you're going to die with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They read La ilaha illallah in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the hands of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they read salah with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did the acts of worship with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they died without that iman which will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aminu kama aman al-nas, fa in amanu bimithli ma amantum bihi faqad ihtadu. That you have to make effort on this iman. And I'll give you a simple example. Everybody has sugar. Sugar everybody has everywhere. Any jamaat that goes out in their own kit, they have sugar. You go to the most remotest of areas, villages, every home, every shop, every spaza shop, corner shop, everywhere there's sugar. Enough sugar everywhere. So does this mean, does this give us license that now we can stop the farming of sugarcane? If we stop the farming of sugarcane, what's going to happen? A time is going to come when you won't even find one grain of sugar in the entire world. So we mustn't think that, alhamdulillah, our family, we're reading our salah, our Muslim people are coming, our community is there. If we're going to stop the effort on iman, a time will come. You ask the ulama, Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Sahib has traveled quite extensively, Bukhara, Samarkand, then you go to Qurtuba, etc. in Spain. So much of Islam and iman and deen. But today, what's the situation? Who would ever thought that the kitabs which were written, that no alim can graduate without doing those kitabs, written in such areas and eras, with so much of Islam and deen, and today what's going on? So those who came before us, they made this effort. Today, alhamdulillah, you and I, we have iman. We are responsible to convey this iman and deen to those coming after the qiyamah. That's through this effort of deen. So as Allah has blessed us with deen, Allah has blessed us with the effort of deen. If we have to stop the effort of deen, obviously a time will come, if you stop the farming of sugarcane, a time will come and you won't find even one grain of sugar. Like that, if you stop the effort of deen, obviously Allah forbid. Imagine we, so pious, tahajjud guzar, we never missed our Monday, Thursday fast, ayyam ibid, so much of charity, etc. Allah nakari, mustn't be such in our own progeny, disbelievers are born. When there's no effort, then obviously the supply of deen is going to... So this effort of deen, we have to... Every person is not just something where certain people... Once you recite La ilaha illallah, what is this effort of deen? It has been named as tabligh, jamaat, etc. But actually it's effort on iman. That a person reads La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now is his responsibility to make sure he dies with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what it is. Yaqeen ki tabadili. That you don't realize, we ourselves, if our stomach is paining, first thing we'll think that, what was the cause? What I ate? What I did? Oh, my head is paining. I need a nice good cup of tea. My head will come right. Well, I didn't sleep properly last night. That's why my head is paining. We're supposed to say, this was the decree of Allah. That irrespective of circumstance, whatever it was, Allah has decreed this particular day, this particular time, this particular ailment for me. Whether it happened yesterday, whether I slept nicely or didn't sleep nicely, my head was supposed to pain today. Whether I drank that milk or I didn't have that particular, my stomach was supposed to. So we, I'm speaking for myself, people who, so to say, in the awam, we are known as people of ilm. If we have this mindset, if we have this misconception of our yaqeen, what's going to happen to the general masses? So that's why we go out in the path of Allah, that everything, la ilaha illa, take everything from our hearts. Mawlana Sulaiman Janji, rahmatullahi alayhi, I'll conclude with this inshallah. Very nice example he would give. He made khidmat of Hazrat Ji, rahmatullahi alayhi, for over 30 years. And he was in charge of Majma Jor in the Markaz. Before any program, he would come up in the front while waiting for the speaker to come. He would gather the people and he would give out his pearls. So he gave a beautiful pearl, which I would like to share. He says that Our example is the example of a 5-year-old child who fell into a swimming pool and is drowning. Now, if we want to save that child, will it be possible for the paramedics and the experts to go down underwater with oxygen and try to revive the child? Or first we have to take the child out of the water? So Hazrat says, obviously first we have to take the child out of the water. Then the child was innocent, the child was under the water breathing. So obviously their lungs are filled with water. You will not be able to pump oxygen into those lungs if there's water. So second, you have to remove that water from the lungs. Then now you try and pump it with some oxygen, some good food, some medication, then perhaps the child will survive with the permission of Allah. He says, like that, we are drowning in incorrect yaqeen. We are drowning in incorrect yaqeen. We are drowning in the love of dunya. We are, because everywhere you go, even your phone you pick up, it's inviting you towards ghairullah. Every billboard you read is inviting you towards ghairullah. Every thing around us is inviting us towards ghairullah. So we have to first come out of that environment and come into the environment of the masjid. Come into the mahol of the path of Allah. Then come into the environment of deen. Then now you have come out of the swimming pool. So the first step towards recovery you have did by coming out of that environment of yours into the environment of deen. Then he says, second, whatever dunya and ghairullah has come into our hearts, by speaking about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, speaking of Allah's qudrat, Allah's greatness, then automatically the dunya and makhluk will come out of our hearts. Then when we sit in the halkas of ta'aleem, when we hear Quran, when we hear ahadith, we hear bayans, we sit at the company of the pious, we take their gems, then that will be the oxygen for our ruh. That will be the nourishment for our ruh. So we have to, every person in the individual capacity, they should make some effort to do this Mubarak effort, because this is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has made us not just an ummah like the previous ummah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with deen and the effort of deen. And this deen and the effort of deen, we need to do it. It's the need of the hour, because that's the only savior for our iman. That effort of deen, speaking about Allah's greatness, that will allow us to rectify and keep our belief system correct. We will remove makhluk from our hearts, the greatest of makhluk, and bring the greatest of khaliq into our hearts. May Allah give us tawfiq.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه ذرياته أجمعين أما بعد علماء کرام نے آپ حضرات کے سامنے اور ہم سب کے سامنے دین کی باتیں اور نصیحتیں پیش فرمائی میں دو تین احادیث سناتا ہوں ذکر کی مجلس کی برکت سے اور ذکر کی مجلس کے تعلق کی وجہ سے حدیث میں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں لا الہ الا اللہ لا يسبقها عمل ولا يترك ذنبا لا إله إلا الله ایسا عمل ہے جس کے آگے کوئی بھی عمل نہیں جا سکتا سب سے بہترین عمل یہ ہے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اپنے چچا ابو طالب سے کہا فرمایا آپ میرے سامنے کلمہ کہہ دیں تاکہ میں اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کے ہاں آپ کے لئے سفارش کر سکوں اس کے پاس ایک دو مشرک بیٹھی ہوئے تھے تو انہوں نے کہا اس وقت آپ اپنے باپ دادا یعنی اپنے پرانے لوگوں کی دین کو چھوڑیں گے تو ابو طالب ان کے کہنے پر ایمان سے اور لا الہ الا اللہ سے محروم ہو گیا. اس لئے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ جہنم کی آگ اس کے ٹخنوں تک ہوگی اس طرح کہ اس آگ کے وجہ سے اس کا دماغ ابل رہا ہوگا اور وہ دوسروں کے مقابلے میں ہلکے عذاب والا ہوگا. لا الہ الا اللہ اس کے ساتھ کبھی کبھی محمد الرسول اللہ بھی کہنا چاہیے کہ حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام سے اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے فرمایا تھا کہ اگر یہ کلمہ ترازو کے ایک پلڑے میں رکھا جائے اور دوسری جانب دوسری طرف سات آسمان و زمین کو رکھا جائے تو یہ کلمہ اس کے مقابلے میں بھاری ہو جائے گا. تو فرمائے لا الہ الا اللہ لا يسبقها عمل, کوئی عمل اس سے آگے نہیں بڑھ سکتا. آپ کو کچھ نہیں آتا تو یہ پڑھتے رہو. ولا يترك ذنبا, اور یہ کسی گناہ کو نہیں چھوڑتا. اگر ایک آدمی اتنا گناہگار ہے کہ حد سے زیادہ اور لا الہ الا اللہ پڑھ لے تو اس کی مغفرت ہو جائے گی اور اس کے سارے گناہ ختم ہو جائیں گے. دحیۃ القلبی جو اپنی قوم کا سردار تھا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی خدمت میں ایمان لانے کے لئے حاضر ہوا اور اس نے اپنے وہ قصے اور واقعات سنائے جن واقعات میں انہوں نے بچیوں کو زندہ دفن کیا تھا. فلان بچی پیدا ہوئی اور چیختی رہی اے ابو تم کیا کر رہے ہو, اور ایسے ایسے لڑکیوں کو ہم نے دفن کیا. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم بھی روئے, صحابہ کرام بھی ان واقعات کو سن کر روئے, اس لئے کہ بچوں اور بچیوں سے جو محبت ہوتی ہے اس کا تقاضا یہ ہے کہ ان کو سینے سے لگایا جائے. لیکن شیطان جو آدمی کو گمراہ کرتا ہے, اور شیطان آدمی کو ایسے گناہوں کی اوپر ابھارتا ہے جو گناہ عقل میں نہیں آتے. کیا یہ عقل اور سمجھ میں آ سکتا ہے کہ آدمی اپنی اولاد کو دفن کرے؟ لیکن شیطان نے غیرت کے نام پر یہ کرایا کہ یہ غیرت کی بات ہے. کیا آدمی کی عقل میں یہ بات آتی ہے کہ آدمی دھواں لے کر کے اپنی منہ میں اور اپنی سینے میں ڈالتا رہے دھواں؟ اگر کسی سے کہا جائے کہ فلان جگہ ٹائر جل رہا ہے اس سے کالا دھواں نکلتا ہے, تم جا کر منہ کو اس پر لگا دو تاکہ اس کو ہضم کرے, اس کو کھینچ لے, وہ کہے کہ کیا میں پاگل ہوں. لیکن جب شیطان کہتا ہے سگریٹ پی لو, شیطان کہتا ہے چرس پی لو, یہ چیز پی لو, رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے دحیۃ القلبی سے فرمایا کہ لا الہ الا اللہ الاسلام یجب اور الاسلام یہدم ما قبلہ. جب آدمی مسلمان ہو جاتا ہے, لا الہ الا اللہ محمد الرسول اللہ کا کلمہ پڑھتا ہے تو جتنے گناہ اس نے پہلے کیے ہیں وہ سب مٹ جائیں گے, جتنے بھی بڑے بڑے گناہ ہو وہ ختم ہو جائیں گے. تو حدیث میں روایت میں یہ آیا کہ لا الہ الا اللہ جس کے لئے ہم جمع ہو جاتے ہیں, لا يسبقها عمل, اس سے کوئی عمل آگے نہیں جا سکتا, ولا يترك ذنبا, اور چھوٹے گناہوں کو نہیں چھوڑتا. ان الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكر للذاكرين, اچھے کام برائیوں کو مٹاتے ہیں. آدمی برائیوں کا مطلب چھوٹے چھوٹے گناہ ختم ہو جاتے ہیں. حدیث میں آتا ہے جب آدمی وضو کرتا ہے اور اپنے چہرے کو دھوتا ہے جس کو منہ دھونا کہتے ہیں تو چہرے کے گناہ مٹ جاتے ہیں, آنکھوں کے گناہ, کانوں کے گناہ, منہ سے جو آدمی کبھی کبھی بکواس کرتا ہے یہ مٹ جاتا ہے. جب ہاتھوں کو دھوتا ہے کوہنیوں تک تو ہاتھوں کے چھوٹے چھوٹے گناہ مٹ جاتے ہیں, اسی طرح پاؤں, اسی طرح سر, یہاں تک کہ جب وضو سے فارغ ہو جاتا ہے تو جو چھوٹے چھوٹے گناہ آدمی سے ہوتے رہتے ہیں ان گناہوں سے یہ پاک اور صاف ہو جاتا ہے. تو لا الہ الا اللہ لا یسبقها عمل ولا یترک ذنبا یا ولا تترک ذنبا. اور حدیث میں آتا ہے من قال لا الہ الا اللہ فتحت له ابواب السماء حتى تفضي الى العرش. جس نے لا الہ الا اللہ پڑھا اس کے لئے آسمان کے دروازے کھل جاتے ہیں یہاں تک کہ کلمہ عرش تک پہنچ جاتا ہے, اور وہ عرش جو سب سے اونچی مخلوق ہے اس سے آگے کوئی مخلوق نہیں, تو وہاں تک یہ کلمہ پہنچ جاتا ہے. یہ اس کلمہ اور لا الہ الا اللہ کی برکت سے. اور حدیث میں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں سَيَعْلَمُ أَهْلُ الْجَمْعِ سَيَعْلَمُ أَهْلُ الْجَمْعِ مَنْ أَهْلُ الْكَرَمِ. جب لوگ قیامت میں جمع ہو جاتے ہیں اور لوگ قیامت میں اللہ تعالیٰ کے سامنے پیش ہو جاتے ہیں اس وقت معلوم ہوگا کہ شرافت والے اور بزرگی والے لوگ اور اعلیٰ درجے والے لوگ کون ہیں. کون ہے؟ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد الرسول اللہ پڑھنے والے. اور حدیث میں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں ما من قوم یذکرون اللہ, جب بھی لوگ لا الہ الا اللہ کو پڑھتے ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کا ذکر کرتے ہیں این الا ناداہم منادن, مگر آواز لگانے والا آواز لگاتا ہے فرشتہ قومو تم چلے جاؤ اس مجلس سے, مجلس ختم ہونے کے بعد مغفورا لکم آپ کے گناہوں کی مغفرت کا اعلان ہوا, اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے آپ کو عزت دے دی. اور سب سے بہترین عمل رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں الا انبئکم بخیر اعمالکم, کیا میں تم کو بہترین عمل نہ بتاؤں. اور فاغلاها عند ملیککم, اور جو اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کے ہاں سب سے قیمتی ہے اور جو اللہ تعالیٰ کے ہاں سونے اور چاندی کے خرچ کرنے سے بھی زیادہ قیمتی ہے اور جو اس سے بھی زیادہ قیمتی اور اعلیٰ ہے کہ تم دشمن کے ساتھ قتال کرتے ہو, جہاد کرتے ہو, وہ تم کو قتل کرتے ہیں اور تم ان کو قتل کرتے ہو, ان سے بھی بہتر ہو. صحابہ کرام نے فرمایا ضرور بتلا دیجئے. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کا ذکر ہے. تو اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ہمیں ذکر کی توفیق عطا فرما دے. اور اب جو حضرت مفتی محمود رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے اپنے مریدین کو جوابات دیے ہیں ان کے خطوط کے جوابات, اس میں سے تھوڑا سا سنا دیں گے. دل کی حالت یہ ہے کہ کسی چیز میں طبیعت نہیں لگتی, نہ ذکر میں, نہ تلاوت میں, نہ نماز میں, نہ درس و تدریس میں. حضرت اس کے لیے کیا کروں؟ آپ تازہ غسل کر کے دو رکعت صلاۃ توبہ کی نیت سے پڑھ لیں, پھر اللہ پاک کے سامنے عاجزی سے درخواست کرے یا اللہ آپ نے مجھے ذکر تلاوت وغیرہ کی توفیق دی تھی, اس کی میں نے قدر نہیں کی جس کی وجہ سے وہ سلسلہ چھوٹ گیا, آپ میرے حال پر رحم فرمائیں, اور مجھے دوبارہ توفیق دیں. زبان بھی آپ کے قبضے میں ہے, دل بھی آپ کے قبضے میں ہے. بغیر آپ کی توفیق کے نہ زبان ذکر کر سکتی ہے نہ دل متوجہ ہو سکتا ہے. دیر تک دعا کرتے رہیں اور کوشش کریں کہ کچھ آنسو بھی آنکھ سے نکل آئیں. یہ دنیا اطمینان اور سکون کی جگہ نہیں, جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے, یہ عبرت کی جا ہے, تماشا نہیں ہے. فانی چیزوں میں دل لگانے سے کہاں اطمینان ہو سکتا ہے. قرآن کریم میں ہے الا بذکر اللہ تطمئن القلوب. خوب سمجھ لو کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کی ذکر سے دلوں کو اطمینان ہو جاتا ہے. اللہ پاک اپنی ذات عالی کے ساتھ اطمینان بخشے. اللہ کا شکر ادا کریں کہ ہر عدم میں, ہر عمل میں اور ہر کام میں اخلاص رہے. وصلی اللہ علی محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین.